The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And we welcome you back. As I was just looking down to our guests, and I think we lost him. We will get him back in a minute. More of your phone calls continuing here for the next couple of hours at 855-242-7285. We were about to check in with Rick Harrow, who is our sports business expert. And Rick, great to have you back. We lost you a minute ago. Glad you're back. And I don't know when we've had more legal questions on a sports show, but with the Supreme Court argument yesterday, the NIL bill making the rounds, who better to talk to than you? Harvard Law graduate. For those who don't know, Rick went to law school with Chief Justice Roberts. I believe they even were roommates at one time. And Rick, thank you for joining us. Enlighten us. Give us the lowdown on what you picked up from yesterday's hearing.
We were both Chicago Bear fans. It was abysmal. It was a terrible time. Not the way we roomed and went to talk about NFL stuff. So, look, the bottom line is there is much more these days than we've had before. The NIL, name, image, likeness ruling, the Alston case, will go a long way to decide how far the NCAA gets to govern this. And ironically, when you talk to some of the big-time athletic directors all over college sports, they've been trying to figure out how to govern Power Five, as you know, versus everybody else, versus Division Two and Three, versus the other sports, versus Title Nine. They're all a bunch of level of financial commitment, and you got to cover all of them. The name, image, likeness stuff doesn't just involve the top marketable player in college football or basketball every year. It trickles down to all 500,000 student athletes in the NCAA, men and women. So it is not an easy decision. Remember, the NCAA and Mark Emmert last year said, we're going to do it. But we both knew the devil was in the details, and it's a big devil.
Well, let's move past the Supreme Court case, because you know better than we do. I mean, it could be narrow. It could be complicated. They could remand it. Who knows what they're going to do? But at some point this summer, we are going to have NIL, and the questions have been coming fast and furious today. You know, what happens? Does that make an athlete an employee? How do you differentiate from one place to the other? Can they union? I know that's a lot to unpack there, but explain the legal ramifications of NIL.
Yeah, and you don't have 4 hours, and if you do, you're not going to want to do this. But the bottom line is we've dabbled for a while. Remember 3.5 years ago and more, Northwestern University athletes came together and wanted to create a union. The National Labor Relations Board said they're not employees, they are students, and that argument is probably going to stay. The court can still say you're students, but you're entitled to earn revenue from your not job, but the value you've brought to the institution, and therefore there's going to be a whole lot of discussion about who cuts it, who saves it. Do the schools get to keep the dollars that are generated? Are the athletes, through their agents, able as free agents to go after the marketing deals? My suspicion is that there will be some governance, and the schools will be able to get the marketing deals. Then it goes trickling down to the players. Of course, the problem with that, Paul, is we've got to avoid at all costs recruiting players based on the highest bid because of the highest marketability. If a basketball player is coming out, not to say that coaches would do this, but you really don't want Duke, Kentucky, Kansas, you know, the top schools saying we're going to be able to generate more marketing money for you. You ought to be able to make the decision independently. On the other hand, this is all very new. So I wish I had answers. If I had answers, they'd all be made up.
But Rick, it's inevitable, but in your estimation, knowing so many people at the highest levels of everything, for that matter, including intercollegiate athletics, what do you think 6 months, 9 months, a year from now, it's going to look like?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a system where there will be athletes allowed to generate their own revenue. There will also be marketing money that schools will have used to divide back to the students. not all of it. I think some new sponsorships will be able to throw in deals for the individual athletes, as well as the team, as well as the coaches, as well as the stadiums, for that matter, and arenas. And there will be dividing the dollars off the top with some very careful policing to ensure that you're not paying the athletes under the table, although we've known that that has been happening for hundreds of years. And B, that teams will not, schools will not have a recruiting advantage for the athletes. That's basically what we're looking at the beginning of next year. My suspicion is, when does it start? Probably doesn't start for the 2021-2022 basketball season. Certainly does for the football season.
Talking to Rick Haro, not only a lawyer, but a sports business expert. Rick, let's talk about some things that are going on right now. The NCAA basketball tournament, men's and women's, has one more weekend. It has been yet another brutal week in the spotlight for the president of the NCAA, Mark Emmert. It doesn't look like he's going anywhere, but what type of command over this sport, over his fiefdom, does he have after taking massive bullets in the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, and some of them were, bad governance and oversight. You don't want to hold a person responsible, but the weight room thing is just a clear mistake and lack of attention to detail. He did own up to it, which is a really good thing. But this is the worst time you possibly can have, because you have the conferences flexing their muscles relative to new TV deals, as we know. We have the name, image, and likeness uncertainty. And the biggest issue about the pandemic, as far as Mark Emmert is concerned, is that the NCAA can't rely on traditional fundraising maneuvers to bail them out like they have in the past, meaning they'll get their $1 billion from this last year, this tournament, to be able to distribute the March Madness numbers on the men's side, but you can't make up for last year where you had none. And so you have to be able to figure out how to compensate. Schools are going to be a lot more creative, but they're also going to take matters in their own hands as much as they can. Schools have to protect their athletes. They have to protect their institutions, and they're not in any mood to give more power to the NCAA, probably in the mood to give considerably less.
And Rick, I realize the billion-dollar check will cash, but we've both been to Final Fours, and they are circuses. You cannot walk down the street if it's in New Orleans or Indianapolis or someplace else, because there are just tens of thousands of people who are there who have no interest or desire to go to the game, but they're concerts. They're all kinds of events going on around them. I would think from a corporate standpoint, this year has not been very kind to them either, has it?
No. And the activation is bad on a couple levels. One is, the corporations, if I see the Progressive and AT&T and Aflac Duck commercial, I'm done. But that's all you got. And frankly, that's all you can activate these days, because you don't have the normal fans. The second piece, as we know, is men's and women's side. The regionals, the Elite Eights, the Sweet 16s are always in places where you generate $30 to $40 million of economic impact over those weekends before the Final Four. Indy and the environment and the state of Indiana have done a tremendous job. But this year and the bubble means that the economics stay in Indiana. The fans are the secondary. The television is the primary. And all of those regions that were counting on early rounds, they have to sit it out.
Finally, Rick, a look ahead. Everyone is saying we'll have full stadiums. The fall will be normal. What are you hearing in terms of the NFL, college athletics? Is 21 going to seem like 19?
Oh, man, we hope so, right? Don't we all hope so? And part of it you can't answer, because neither you nor I, regardless of whether we're have relationships with doctors, neither you nor I are doctors, and we can't assess the speed of the vaccine and the herd immunity. We can hope, we can't guarantee it. On the other hand, we all understand that the NCAA and the NFL are making plans, and they're boldly announcing that the goal, rather than the plan, the goal is to have full capacity stadiums in the NFL and at all colleges. I'm waiting to see how these Major League Baseball openers in Texas with crowding and no social distancing and, you know, very few masks. I'm not going, and I don't know that it's the right answer now. It hopefully, Paul, will be the right answer in August and September.
Rick Carl joining us. By the way, what was Justice Roberts like in college?
Amazing. I mean, he was he beat me in squash a little bit, which is kind of hard to imagine since until I went up to law school, I thought it was just a vegetable and not a game. But he played it all the time, and he was a pretty good athlete. He was a wrestler, by the way, in LaPorte, Indiana, and he was a Midwesterner, and being a Chicago Cub fan and Bear fan, we all were used to rampant disappointment because you may remember the Cubs, the Bears, and every Chicago sport in the 70s was not very good.
Well, Rick, I think a few of my former roommates in college are currently serving life sentences in the penitentiary. So you definitely.
Yeah, I don't think you want to know them, right? Your reunions might have been a little different.
Well, hey, great to have you on. Thank you very much.
All right, we'll talk to you.
You got it. Not all of them, but just some of them. And I could have predicted that back in college. We will take a break. More to come in the final hour and 45 minutes. Your phone calls are next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flail.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we welcome all of you back. More of your phone calls in just a moment at 855-242-7285. Final hour, we'll check in with Cecil Hurt on everything connected to Alabama from the wrap-up to the basketball season, to what is going on at spring practice. That coming up here in about an hour. Let's check in right now with Mike, who is in California. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Paul. How you been?
We are well. Thank you very much.
I've been calling in the last couple of months and things like that. I've called a couple of times. I don't know if I'm alone out here, but the last year has been very difficult for me, and I've been having a lot more anxiety about it more lately. And there's just a lot going on. And I guess I'll just talk about sports mainly. Who do you pick for the Final Four?
Well, Mike, I like Gonzaga to win it all. I think it will be Gonzaga and Baylor. By the way, back to what you said at the top of the, I didn't want to just dismiss what you said. Is there a particular reason? Is it the COVID year or is it something else?
It's a lot. I moved back to California right before January last year. And it's just, I'm having a hard time having the desire to, I have the desire to see my relatives and family and things, but I've lived alone for a year, and it's like everything for my life has just kind of been accumulating, and I don't feel too see family because I don't want to be judged or I don't want to be put belittled or I don't want any of that. And things have been very difficult, and things being closed here as they were and then reopening. It's good that they're reopening, but I think the amount of stigma and things that went on for the past year, I don't know if I was ever doing that well before all this either. So I'm just trying to understand where to go from here. And I was just wondering more about yourself. Do you have a family?
Yes, I'm married. And let me say this to you, Mike. I saw somebody today. Things are a little more normal today than they've been. And the very first thing I'd never met this person, but we were meeting about something. And the very first thing people say now is, "I've had the vaccine or I haven't." And even though things are better, and I think they are significantly better, it has been the most disturbing year for most of our lifetime. And yeah, again, I realize there are older people who experienced the war and other calamities, but I don't know anybody who was prepared for what's happened here in the last year. It's been pretty unbelievable.
Yeah, it just hit me at a weird time. I mean, I'm 40 now. I always thought that I could, you know, maybe work in the sports field or something like that. But it's just kind of been a real reckoning the last several years, and now realizing that there's not a lot of things that can really be changed. And sure, someone that has a billion-dollar financial organization and things like that. But I just thank you for doing these shows.
Well, Mike, listen, you call back anytime, and I deeply appreciate your sharing your story with us, and it's not easy. And I know it's easy for me to say it's not easy, but what we heard from Mike and we've heard from others is real. We don't hear it as much anymore because, fortunately, things are brighter and looking forward, but for a lot of people, the last 54 weeks have been extremely difficult. Let's continue with more phone calls and check in with Mr. Red, who is up next. Good afternoon.
Hello?
Let me try Iman next. Iman, go right ahead. Welcome to our show.
Thank you for taking my call. I was listening to your last call, and it just inspired me to say this. I'm a happy-go-lucky guy, and I always have been. I just take it as it is, and I roll with punches. This year has been extremely tough because there's been a division of the people, you know, whether it be all these other topics out there, the virus, politics, religious, whatever the case may be, ethnic. But, this virus thing really took all of those and kind of played the trump card on top of them. And it has been a fight to maintain just who I am. And I do. I get up every day and I try to do the same thing. I wake up happy and see the world as it comes. But it has been a struggle. And I'd say this to your last caller. I know it's tough. But you get up every day and you look yourself in the mirror and you say, "I'm going to be me. I'm going to be me," because that's what I do. Now, maybe that doesn't work for a lot of people, but I've got a strong will, determined mind, and I refuse to buckle and fold. But I also, while I refuse to do all that, I give absolute respect and understanding for everything trying to go on around me as well. But you wake up every day and say, "I'm determined to be me," and you just the best you can.
I think, and our friend from California a minute ago, I just think, in addition to all the other external and internal pressures, it's just since you were a kid, and I know, and you're not the best example for this because you're in people's homes, you're working, but a lot of people. who have been working remotely.
They're shut in.
They have no interaction with anyone.
That's exactly right. And in California, the rules and regulations, that's why when I look at the sports world and think asterisk, it's because everything changed all across the country.
Right.
Everybody's not playing by the same rules. And that's what we're living by. We're not living by the same guidelines. And it's affecting all of us differently. And when I go in these people's homes, I see how it's affecting them. And it is sad. And I just wish my man the best, and I wish there was more I could do. But
no, I hope he will. And I was awkward because I knew he was really struggling, and I did not want to, you know, put him in a more difficult position. I think he was literally laying his heart out for us.
He was.
And I, you know the drill here. I mean, sometimes I try to bring people out, but there is a fine line where you just don't want to go too far. And
that was what made me call. What you were trying not to do and what he was doing. And I just said, I just picked up the phone. There's no hesitation. And I love people. And
I think too, obvious. Mike, it is all, I mean, we're on the eve of one of the most sacred days on the calendar with Good Friday and then Easter Sunday. So, you know, I mean, as we all went through this around Christmas, we were also somewhat relieved by the time we got to Christmas that we had gotten to Christmas and we were about to turn the corner and get rid of the year. But, there were two baseball games today that were postponed because of COVID. I mean, no matter how fast you run, we haven't completely outdistanced this situation yet.
I tell you, the line that got me was when he was talking about families and how families can be judgmental.
Right.
And that is absolutely the truth. And that's what compelled me, because it's obvious he's having a hard, difficult time with this. But my man, know you, there's people out there that heard that, and we've got prayers to you.
Thank you. Thank you for jumping on board here, and it means a lot. We will take a break. We still have a long way to go. Cecil Hurt in the next hour. He is reporting in his column on in the Tuscaloosa News that Nate Oates' name will definitely be mentioned and has been mentioned for the North Carolina job. We'll talk to Cecil about that in about 45 minutes.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're back, and Bert is up next. Hey, Bert, thanks for the time. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, long time no see. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
The pay for play, this is probably a rhetorical question, but really, why are we even talking about that? I mean, is it about because the players aren't getting treated fairly enough, or is it about them? I mean, I've been hearing this forever, so I think I know, but my point is, these guys are blessed. There's people that would give fingers and toes to be able to do what they do. I think.
But Bert, how many people can do what these guys and women can do?
They can't. That's what I'm saying. They're blessed. But, I mean, you take all the best players off all the best teams, people still going to watch football. It just won't be as good as it was. But anyway.
Well, no, I agree. I agree with you on that. If the football was – if you took the players from – smaller schools and put them at Alabama, and as long as it was competitive, we would still watch it. But it's a complex. You've asked a very simple but complex question.
Here's the thing: do we want another professional football league? Because if anybody believes that is not exactly what we're going to get, then they're not real smart, or they're not.
Hey, Bert, what do you think we have now?
I don't think we have the NFL, but it's a lot more like the NFL than it was back when I was reading your columns instead of listening to you on the radio.
Well, no, you're right. I mean, everything about college athletics is bigger and broader and significantly worth a lot more money.
You don't think it would be a huge, huge change, though, like a monumental change, if they started saying, okay, let's pay them?
Well, you don't think remember we are not talking directly about, okay, we're going to hire a team and pay them salaries proportionate to their skill level. This is not exactly that. I think we get confused sometimes with pay for play. There's not going to be a general manager. What we're talking about here are players being able to profit from their name, from their likeness. And that is going to happen, by the way. I mean, there's no debate. It is about to happen. It just simply remains to be seen in what form or fashion it occurs in. Thank you for the call, though. Appreciate it. Squirrel, here to save the day. How are you, Squirrel?
I don't know about that, but I sure appreciate you taking my call. What's the plans for tomorrow? Are you going to have Father Moreno on?
I don't think so.
Isn't that a Good Friday thing?
Well, we did last year, and I have communicated with him recently about he's going through, I think Italy's on lockdown again, by the way.
I heard they're having some problems over in Italy.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's a question I will raise, but we have not planned on it, but it's a good suggestion.
Well, if he's on, that'd be great. If not, you know, that'd be great.
By the way, is there a caller that you would recommend to fill in for him tomorrow to give the homily tomorrow?
Oh gosh, a caller?
Yeah, somebody we all know.
Or an ex-caller.
Well, I think we're thinking down the same road here.
I'm sure we've got somebody that could fill in for the good father there. But no, that was a great call by Iman. And if you recall back last March, last April, last May, there were several of us that really pushed back on this COVID thing, on the shutdown of the economy, on the reaction that we had to it. And we caught a lot of trouble for it. But the reason we did, because we saw what was going to happen to people like Mike. And it's happening to people like Mike. It's happening to children all over the country that have been denied school. And that's why we push back on all that crap and the media scare and the media hype. And that's why politicians should be ashamed of themselves, Paul. And the media should be ashamed of themselves, too. They really should.
Well, Squirrel, I will agree with you, and I didn't see it as clearly then as I did now because it was difficult to – and I think I paid too much attention to the media. The media can be very dishonest.
Oh, of course they are. And that's why I trust nothing they say in – and I advise people to get all the facts they can and decide for themselves on things. But my first advice to Mike would be to get out of California, first of all. go to a more – I mean, seriously.
No, I know.
Go to a more friendly state. Go to Texas. Come to Mississippi. Come to Florida. I mean, it's practically normal here, Paul. I mean, it's practically back to pre-COVID here. There's still people wearing some masks, but most of us aren't. You know what I mean? And it's basically back to normal. And I encourage Mike to get his ass out of California ASAP.
Squirrel, thank you.
Thank you for taking my call. Hello.
One thing about Squirrel, whether you agree or disagree, he just gets right to it. And he hits you over the head with it, and that's what we love about him. How about, I think we have Mr. Red again. Mr. Red, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Nice
Paul,
to hear. Hey there.
I want to let you know something. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
We do not need the Supreme Court. We got the Paul Feinbaugh Show to solve all these problems that are coming up in college sports.
And I agree with you on that. And I could do a better job than those nine justices. And I would include all of you in the decision. I wouldn't make it arbitrarily.
Paul, I just lost my wife in January. And I want to tell you something. She loved your show. We love watching you because you are just awesome and getting to the correct path. In college sports, what's happening? Like in the state of Louisiana, half the state, the population already works for the state. Now, if we pay these college students at all these universities just in the state of Louisiana, I mean, you're talking about not pay for play, but you're talking about like a shoe contract, but with games, the video games, with their names, a brand, right?
No, you are. Hey, Mr. Red, if I could indulge upon you, thank you for saying what you did. Tell us about your wife. I really would be eager to hear more.
She was a minister, and it really touched me, Mike, calling. Yeah, he just needs to get out of that Hotel California he's in. He needs to get out, because in Louisiana, we got a lot of pine trees up here in North Louisiana, and I promise you, this property, I mean, pennies on the dollar. He just get over here and come hunt with us and stuff. Just get away, get out of that environment he's in over there in California.
How are you doing?
I was doing good till Mike calls, so making me cry again. Oh, I love my wife.
I know you did.
We love LSU sports, and we always will. Paul, I think Ed Ogeron is doing a wonderful job down there, and I don't understand what all happened with the Geis thing at the Superdome, but I'll be honest with you, it could very well have happened. I mean, that wouldn't surprise me. But the responsibility lies with the leadership, and that's where Nick Saban's got it. He makes these people, these players that play for him, and it seems like no one else gets it. Like they play for that man, and he's got them all understanding that this is how you win. And he's great at it. Ain't nobody else can do it. He couldn't do it with the Miami Dolphins. But what he's got now is the problem you're having with paying these students. But they don't play for the University of Alabama. They play somewhere else where they're not earning that pay to get paid like the University of Alabama players are. And that's why they're going in the first round, second round in the draft. But I want to quit talking and let you take over.
Well, Mr. Red, thank you for sharing your story about your wife, and you be well, and let's talk again very soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All the best to you, and have a great holiday this weekend. We will take a break. We still have some time to go, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
And we have softball coming up shortly. Bailey Hempel for Alabama. They have had quite a season so far. They take on A&M coming up shortly. And we are back here and taking your phone calls. And let's check in with Lynn, who is in South Carolina. Hello, Lynn.
Hey, it's your social worker from South Carolina.
Oh, wow. Great to have you back.
You have hit my social work heart today. Oh, my God. I hope Mike is still listening. Every human has value. Everybody has a purpose and a place. Those folks that were saying he needs to move, that might be an answer. But it may not be the answer. A friend of mine who was part crazy, part comedian, and part philosopher always said, no matter where you go, there you are. You take yourself with you. You take your core values with you. I called to share two important phone numbers. One is the National Suicide Hotline, 1-800-273-8225. 1-800-273-8225. And the National Depression Hotline, 1-888-771-5166. 888-771-5166. The call is free, and the life you save may be your own.
Lynn, thank you so much for sharing that.
Man, you're awesome. The way you listen to people is just incredible. My heart goes out to Red, Mr. Red, sorry. But it's just, you know, I've been through a hard year too, okay? Not being able to see my people. I've been isolating. And those of you who think this is over, let me just tell you, one of the facilities I visit just shut back down to all but nurses because they've had a COVID outbreak.
No, I'm glad you said that, Lynn. And I have, you know, you've been with us for a while, and I'm no longer responding to people when they have an opinion, because everybody lives a different life. And I know in some of the places that Squirrel referred to, it is very normal. Where I live, it's not normal. It's more normal than it was a year ago, but that would be that wouldn't be saying very much. But I think there is a lot of optimism, but. You have to be a little more careful than being cavalier.
I don't want to take anybody's optimism away. There is light at the end of the tunnel, and I'm praying it's not a freight train. But with that said, we need to be optimistic. We have to hold on to hope. It's going to change. It just hasn't changed that much yet. And part of it is going to be personal responsibility. You know, and I can't make people do any. I can only do what I can do. I have to live within myself. I can only encourage. Care for yourself. And, you know, if I could repeat those numbers again in case people didn't have pen and paper.
Sure, Wayne.
Okay, suicide hotline, national number, 1-800-273-8225. 1-800-273-8225.
Lynn, go ahead. I apologize. Let me, we just have a couple of seconds left. You're the person that people look to. How do you cope with that part of the equation?
You know, that's a hard question. Some days I do, some days I don't. I'm human. The only thing I know to say is that the days I do get to make visits, I visit on behalf of families that can't, and I call them and let them know how their person's doing.
Okay.
That's part of my saving grace right now.
Lynn, you be well. Thank you for sharing the numbers and the story, and let's hope you help someone by doing that. You be well. Thank you so much. We are heading to a break. Final hour, we will change gears a little bit. Cecil Hurt will join us. He has just written a piece about whether Nate Oates, who had agreed to a new deal at Alabama, could be in contention to replace Roy Williams at North Carolina. We'll talk to Cecil about that coming up here in just a few minutes. We're back after this.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.